good to see two members of my
crowd. Good morning, everyone. It is 10:01, November 29th, 2003. If we're talking kind of fast, it's because we have to have a commissioner who has a tight schedule today. So, but a lot to talk about. And I think, first of all, I would ask if there's no objection, I would like to move from the administrative part of the meeting. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. After doing it for 10 and a half years one way, it can be forgotten. I appreciate the reminder. If there's no objection, I'd like to move from Section B of the Administrative Matters part of the meeting, number B2, the FERC intervention, onto the regular agenda and make that RC4.
No objection.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we will do that. I've talked over the years a number of times about the importance of building relationships and establishing credibility. And we saw that with Commissioner Fedorchuk being elected president of NARUC. And I think the things that you're going to be able to do there in the next year with getting important messages out to people play into that. But we, in the last hours and days, I've been witness to even more of it. We have a situation where we have a FERC case against Basin Electric that is very serious. And the reason I moved that up is I am hoping that we will agree to request intervention status in that and get involved, because, as I'll explain more when we get to it, it is a very serious case that could have enormous consequences on that cooperative. And then we saw another situation develop, and I think most people are aware. We've got terrible electric issues in the northwest corner of the state. We just don't have enough generation up there, and the transmission to bring electricity in is severely overloaded. DOT issued some kind of a move permit for some large item, so large that it requires the taking down of a 230 kV power line. That's a big vessel that's being moved. And it's supposed to be today. Well, guess what? Of the transmission that's up there, most of it's wind, and it's not windy. And so we're going to have outages potentially if that happens. Apparently, McKenzie Electric has been in touch with WAPA. That's whose line it is, with SPP, the regional transmission operator. You know, just like, and nothing can be done. They contacted us, and this is where I get into the establishing relationships and building credibility. I wanted to point it out with our attorney, Jack Hsu, now that he's in the room. That's the FERC intervention potential, as well as Victor Shook. Yesterday, late in the day, just before closing time, Victor Shook emailed the executive vice president and chief operating officer of SPP, as well as the senior vice president of the Upper Great Plains region of WAPA, and notified them of this concern that we have. And after all this time of, you know, no results, suddenly there was a flurry of emails in response to Victor's email. And at 11:30 last night, the chief operating officer of SPP denied that removal of that line. Now, by 8 o'clock this morning, we were informed by WAPA, they're claiming that they have now received confirmation that they can do it, but that it will be reevaluated right before it happens. So that's the latest on it. But what you see here is all-star people within a, I think, an excellent agency that have and has established relationships and built credibility that when we talk, people listen and we're able to make an enormous difference. There's the potential that that could have resulted in big losses of electricity that who knows what the impacts could have been. So I just appreciate all of our people today. This kind of makes the highlight reel. But I wanted to mention those things because I'm enormously proud. That's my opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhofer?
No comments.
I would just say one quick thing in response to the folks. What I find so just encouraging about this agency and satisfying is that the folks here are really effective because they care about what they're doing and they see that the importance of it. And it's just so gratifying to have staff like that on our team that really come to work every day knowing that it's this kind of a obscure agency that does stuff that most people don't even care about until they don't have what happens as a result of the work here, which is the power and other utility services. So I think that, you know, it's just really awesome to be part of a team and to have employees that care so much for what they're doing. So hopefully they feel appreciated and rewarded as well.
I guess I want to add one thing. It is great when we as a public service commission get notified from our partners out there on an issue, knowing that they can reach out to us and we're going to act. So with McKinsey, I really want to acknowledge Matt Hansen, the CEO, who took it upon himself, recognizing the issue that was going on out there and reached out to us and said, this is what's going on, and I would appreciate any help. So it's important. We have wonderful staff, but it's great to have those relationships with those companies out there saying this is the issue. PSC, we need your help. So I want to give a big, strong kudos to Matt out in McKinsey Cooperative for reaching out and identifying, and also, you know, Victor for taking it when I got it and said, Victor, help. We have an issue going on here. So kudos there to those relationships that we have with our industry.
Okay. So then moving to the consent calendar, we have four items on consent, plus along with the previous meeting minutes, I would move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then moving into the regular calendar, I move the commission to approve bond release number 3 for surface coal mining permit NACT-9501 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 343.03 acres of land located in a portion of Section 22, Township 146 North, Range 88 West, Mercer County, effective January 2nd, 2024, unless a formal hearing is requested, in Coteau Properties Company Bond Release 3, Permit NACT-9501, Application Case Number RC-22-285.
Second.
So this application contains 343 acres. The land is owned by Coteau and consists of 183 acres of reclaimed native grassland that includes two stock ponds, totaling just over an acre, and then another 159 acres that were not affected by mining activities. This is north of Beulah near Beaver Bay, if anyone's familiar up there. This land was initially affected by mining in 2004. The coal removal operations were completed from 2006 to 2009. Backfilling and grading operations were completed from 2011 through from 2007 to 2011. We had a formal bond release inspection on September 28th of 2022. Participants of the bond release inspection included Reclamation Division staff, Coteau staff, John Sieving from OSM, and a local landowner, the Mercer County Commissioners, and the Mercer County NRCS District Conservationist were invited but declined to participate. There's two stock ponds and a Southwest water pasture tap were constructed to supplement livestock water sources to support the post-mining land use. Reclamation Division has verified that the reclaimed native grassland has been established with a diverse mix of cool and warm season grass species. The established vegetation was providing excellent ground cover and protection from erosion, but there were a couple of minor erosional features that were observed in the reclaimed drainage way during the final bond release inspection, and measures have been taken now in that past year to stabilize those areas. Soil respread thicknesses were verified with a truck-mounted soil probe in August of 2022. OSM has reviewed the application and sent a letter concurring with our recommendation of final bond release approval. A notice of the application was published in the official county newspaper, and no objections to this bond release application were received. Coteau's not requesting any reduction in the bond amount since this area is currently covered by a worst-case reclamation condition that exists at Freedom Mine. Coteau has demonstrated that the reclaimed lands have met all applicable final bond release performance standards. If we approve this today, the bond release, as I said in the motion, will become effective on January 2nd, but unless a formal hearing is requested, then that would delay that. The Reclamation Division recommends approval of this bond release, as do I. And I just want to point out a little personal thing. I mean, there, for over a century, there's not land ownership or mineral rights or any connection to this in my family. But in the, like, through the first 10 or 15 years of this century, I don't know when he actually settled there, but my great-grandfather actually lived on this property, and I don't know if he was there already when my grandfather left home, but
it's cool.
Kind of hazy history there, but this is where my great-grandfather once lived.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, then number two, I move the commission find the formal complaint filed by Casey and Julie Voigt on November 22nd, 2023, states a prima facie case, and serve the complaint on the respondent in Casey and Julie Voigt versus Coteau Creek Mining Company, LLC, complaint case number RC-23-348.
Second.
And I will just say, so the respondent would be the Cuyahoga Creek Mining Company. And in scheduling, I have kind of tentatively, I don't think it's official yet, but kind of tentatively reserved December 22nd mm-hmm. as the hearing date. And so we'll finalize that in scheduling. But that's my anticipation because through OSM, we're very constrained on our timeline to have this hearing. So, with that, I have nothing more to say about it at this point.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, RC3, I move the commission to initiate case number AM-23-323 for the 2024 Dakota Collieries AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands and Public Service Commission 2024 Dakota Collieries AML project case number AM-23-323.
Second.
The Dakota Collieries project involves backsloping and backfilling about 915 feet of dangerous high wall on an abandoned surface coal mine. The site's approximately 4 miles southeast of Zap, and it was a 20-acre abandoned mine site. Is characterized by steep eroding high walls, approximately 50 feet high. The proposed work is planned in two phases, a tree removal phase between now and March of next spring, and a construction phase between May and November of 2024. The proposed construction work involves backsloping and backfilling the high walls with earthen material from adjacent spoil piles. Affected areas will be reseeded with locally adapted grass species native to western North Dakota. Additional work is being considered on adjacent properties. This would be very minor, but may include reclaiming subsidence and erosional features from abandoned underground and surface mines. The estimated cost of this project is $750,000. The AML division recommends initiating the project, as do I. And I will just add, we traditionally didn't have these. They were just on consent. I moved this over because years ago, the final contracts were approved in a commission meeting, and several years ago, we just moved that to something that the executive director does. And so I realized there's really nothing that ever brings these projects in front of the whole commission and the public. And so I felt like starting now, the initiation of new projects should come here to be more transparent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then the new RC4, which was previously a discussion item B2, the FERC intervention. And I'll just have Jack talk about it in a little bit and give you a little background.
Thank you, Commissioner. So we've discussed this issue over the last 3 or 4 days pretty extensively, so I won't go too deep in the detail. But there's an open FERC case right now, and it has to do with the basin's application. And at this point in time, there have been some things that have been raised that have caused some concern regarding disallowances of certain facilities within their generation fleet. And as a result of that, in our discussions, we believe that it may be prudent for us to get involved and file for an intervention. And right now we have Leaf as well as Robert digging into a number of the filings as well as myself to flesh out some of these issues and possibly provide some input moving forward. I did provide a motion for the chair, and I apologize. I intended for this to be an admin discussion, and so some of this is not operating as a normal meeting would. But due to to provide more flexibility, I did provide a motion that would allow us to have the commission intervene in this proceeding, as well as delegate authority to an individual commissioner to work with staff on the filings. I left that blank. I initially had flagged Commissioner Crispin due to the fact that he's chair, as well as his involvement in SPP as to be primary, but of course all three of you bring a unique perspective to this proceeding, So if there's a preference for another commissioner, certainly be open to that as well. So I did provide the motion, and I'll leave that open to discussion for the three of you.
I just want to add to that. This is a very serious case. The original case had to do with something else that I don't think is any of our jurisdiction. However, the Sierra Club intervened and chose to elevate it and drug basically all of Basin's electric generation plants into this. And that is a very serious thought to potentially have all these generation plants closed down. We're barely getting enough electricity as it is. Can you imagine? And so I think this is amazingly important. The last time we met as SPP, this was not even on the radar screen. But, you know, what really brought it to the attention is Basin's filing at FERC in response to the Sierra Club. When you've got a company like that, that is that profoundly important to North Dakota, but actually a lot of states and a lot of people. And in their filing, they are talking about the potential for default, for bankruptcy, and for the loss of safe, reliable, and affordable power. This is frightening what groups like the Sierra Club waltz in from the coasts and put us through. This is putting Jack and our whole agency through a lot. It's putting Basin Electric through a lot. And I think on behalf of the citizens of North Dakota, even though, you know, they're not a regulated jurisdictional utility here, but there's a lot of trade-off between companies. You know, their load serves helps with MDU and the other jurisdictional companies. the whole SPP system is at stake here in this upper zone. There's a lot at stake here, and I think it's important that we do this. And I'd be glad to be the one in the motion if you two are all right with that. I think even the chairman part of it is kind of secondary to the SPP role.
I concur with you, Commissioner Christman, and I will support you to take the lead. I think after talking with Basin and stuff, this is very important, especially on the reliability. Sadly, this judge has allowed other factors to come in to this case and the reliability, which was not an issue on this case, but he's allowed it to come in, and I think it's imperative that we intervene and write, you know, hopefully submit comments on Sierra Club's points on what they want done, how it definitely would affect reliability and affordability. So I support this.
I agree. I think, and I appreciate you being willing to do it, Randy, with your SPP connections. Obviously, you know, the NERC, latest NERC report, again, determines that the 2/3 of the country doesn't have enough power to meet demand if the intermittent resources are producing at low levels. And so this Sierra Club's efforts to come at it from an economic standpoint, you know, and suggest that the basin's fleet is not the most economic choice, so they're coming at it cleverly through the tariff filing. But the impact is that they could be jeopardizing 2,500 megawatts of dispatchable baseload power, and there just isn't that kind of excess available anywhere in this country right now to even consider shutting that much power down. So I think absolutely I support intervening and hope that we focus on those points and look forward to seeing our motion.
With that, I move the commission intervene and delegate authority to Commissioner Randy Christman to approve and file on behalf of the commission and FERC case numbers ER20-2441-002 et al.
Second.
Oh, sorry.
Third.
Here we go.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
There we go.
I don't recall what time you needed to leave.
I'll leave at 11.
Do you want to go?
I think it's okay. And also, I will call in as I drive to the airport and as long as I can so I can be part of a bunch of stuff that way.
Okay. So, I will try and...
And so we don't forget, when we get to scheduling, is 8 o'clock on December 22nd okay with you if we schedule that hearing?
I'll look.
You can look well.
Yeah. Okay. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission City of Kenmare damage prevention enforcement case numbers DM23-238 and DM23-239.
Second.
On June 23rd, the commission received two North Dakota One Call complaints by Ware Excavating alleging a violation by the City of Kenmare for failure to locate and mark horizontal location of underground facilities within a location period. So the complaint came in, the staff sent out the letter, the staff received a response, and a consent agreement was filed. So just to give you a little background, on the 14th of December, Wave Excavation provided two excavation notices to the North Dakota One Call, and with work to begin on June 17th. North Dakota One Call assigned two ticket numbers and identified the work to be performed was stump grinding. On the 17th, the city was the only operator who had not cleared or marked either location ticket. And on the July 3rd, the city did provide a positive response to both locate tickets and marked them as clear, no conflict. On the 17th, staff received a response from the city providing information that the locates were not complete within the located period due to employee turnover and a current employee unfamiliar with the one call system. So the staff had additional conversation with the city of Canmare, and because of that staff turnover, everything is now in place that there's more than one person to receive the notification. So having investigated this, there was a violation, and based on the violation, the city is assessed, the city of Canmare is assessed a civil penalty of $2,000 with $1,000 suspended. If there are no further violations within 5 years, the city shall submit the $1,000 civil penalty within 10 business days to the commission. And in the event the commission finds the city violated additional violations within the 5 years, the city shall remit the suspended portion of the penalty within the time ordered by the commission, in addition to any fines or penalties imposed on the subsequent violation. So I support this consent agreement that has been presented to us.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public work in the Public Service Commission, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU21-142 and DM23-241.
Second.
Thank you. On June 26th, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Burley Construction alleging a violation by Montana Dakota Utilities for failing to locate and mark the approximate horizontal location of underground facilities within a location period. So once the complaint came in, again, the staff sent the letter to MDU. The response was received, and a consent agreement was agreed upon. So just a little bit of what happened there is on June 9th, Burlington provided notice to the one call to begin work on June 14th for an excavation notice for in Carpio, North Dakota, and the type of work to be done was to repair sewer and water lines. And the technician from MDU was dispatched and determined the area was clear. On the 15th of June, Burlington had a crew waiting to commence the work and reached out to MDU to inquire regarding the location status of the one call ticket. MDU began to investigate why a positive response was not sent to North Dakota One Call. They completed it, but the one call wasn't had the appropriate documentation. So MDU discovered the response, positive response, was disconnected from the North Dakota One Call MDU 06 district and registration code, and the manual response therefore was immediately sent. So it was just a glitch in MDU's response, but because there was that glitch, it created a violation for the proper notification. Now, because in the case that mentioned earlier, the 2-1 the 21142, they had a previous violation, and because there was a stipulation that if there was further violations, they would have to remit the additional fine. And so that's what's going to happen. So MDU is assessed a civil penalty of $2,500 in that case, prior case, because there was an additional violation within 5 years. So again, they have to submit the $2,500 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days. This current case, they're assessed a penalty of $300 and shall remit that $300 penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days. So with that, thank you for staff for going back into an old case and recognizing that there was a further violation, and I support this order in the consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just wanted to mention, staff had mentioned that they appreciated MDU's part in coming forward on the suspended violation as well, and just being proactive in that arena, which I wanted to acknowledge that and express appreciation for their coming forward.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on notice of probable violation in Public Service Commission Aux Sable Midstream LLC Pipeline Safety Enforcement Case Number GS-23-242.
Second.
On May 2nd, 2023 through June 23rd, Public Service Commission Gas Line Safety Staff Inspectors conducted a biannual transmission operations and maintenance records inspection, and it was initially conducted in person, and additional items were requested and reviewed remotely. The inspection was completed on June 23rd. On June 7th, the gas line pipeline safety manager issued a notice of probable violation to them, alleging one violation of pipeline safety regulation and proposed a penalty of $500. The company received a response from the company, and they were not contesting the violation and would submit the civil penalty of $500. On October 25th, 2023 of this year, the commission did receive the $500 civil penalty payment in addition to the document amending their manual to address the violation. So what happened there is in the section of the law, it states capacity must be determined at intervals not exceeding 15 months. So they have to do that inspection within 15 months. And the documentation showed that they were late on it. They were actually, instead of 15 months, they were 16 months and 4 days short, so which resulted in the violation. There was some staff turnover, and they did recognize this. They have updated their manual. They have done everything that they need to do to ensure that this type of violation won't happen again. So the order presented is saying that a violation occurred regarding in the pipeline safety due to the time limit that is required wasn't met. They have paid the $500, and I support this order that thanks to the inspectors for doing a thorough record review, working with the company. The manual has been updated, and everything has been complete. So I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company AMDT Cost Recovery 2024 rates, case number PU-23-283.
Second.
Thank you. On August 1st, Otter Tail Power filed an application for approval of its annual rate update to the Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology Cost Recovery Rider for 2024. On the 6th, the commission suspended the rates and issued a notice of opportunity until October 20th. No comments or requests for hearing were received. On the 27th, the commission did hold an informal hearing to discuss the application with Otter Tail Power Company. On the 2nd, Otter Tail did file a supplement filing to the August 1st initial filing. and projected timelines to its impacts, and to change the AMDL rider to reflect the proposed recovery in case number PU23-2342. In the supplemental filing, Otter Tail also proposed a change to the name of the proposed tariff from Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology Cost Recovery Rider to Meter and Distribution Technology MDT Cost Recovery Rider. So the proposed cost recovery rider permits Otter Tail Power to recover its cost expenses in a return on investments in AML and demand response. So the total revenue requirement to be collected from the customers from January 1st, 2024 through December 31st is a decrease, which represents $1,297,973, a decrease from the previous year's revenue of over $3 million. The decrease in the revenue requirement is primarily due to project delays stemming from challenges with integrating their software system for the implementation of AMI. The proposed recovery would be a fixed per meter charge based on the cost of the type of the meters needed for each class. The proposed monthly change would be 73 cents for a standard residential meter and up to $21.07 for a large general service transmission meter. Due to the fixed nature of the proposed change, all standard residential customers would see a decrease of 98 cents per month from the previous year per month rate of $1.71. So I support this. And I mean, yeah, this event rider.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'll just say, correct me if I'm wrong. So the reduction that's because of the delay, so that cost isn't really going away. It just will be delayed, and so it'll be more next year because it's less this year.
Right.
And then on their original filing, the outage management system was in here too, but that's being incorporated into the rate case, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
My only comment is that I would urge us all to call this the Advanced Metering Rider, not AMDT. When we're talking about it. And that's a little tip for the media, too. It's a rider to capture the costs of the advanced meters that they're... So AMDT isn't going to mean much to the public.
Is there any further discussion?
But if we could work a vowel in there, then we would have to use it.
So you're saying Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology, AMDT?
I'm just saying rather than use the acronym AMDT, just call it the Advanced Metering Rider. So that it. I'm not saying we need to. I'm just saying when we talk about it, okay. when the media talks about it, it's more clear to the public to call it the Advanced Metering. One less acronym, right? Yes.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Saver Switch Tariff Modifications Tariff Case Number PU-23-337.
Second.
On October 27th, NSP filed an application for approval or modification to the residential controlled air conditioning and water heating rider and the commercial and industrial controlled air conditioning rider. NSP is proposing to increase the maximum amount of load that can be controlled by cycling a participant's air conditioning during a demand event to achieve a 60% load reduction in the air conditioning requirements up to a 50% reduction. And during a NERC level 2 system emergency, NSP proposes to cycle up to an 80% reduction. Such interruptions would make it, will be made to occur up to a maximum of 300 hours per calendar year. So the issues to be considered at this notice of hearing are whether the proposed tariffs are reasonable and whether the tariff changes should be approved. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 10, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine this matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rates reduction in application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company's renewable resource cost recovery rates, case number PU23-340.
Second.
Thank you. On October 31st, MDU filed a change to its renewable cost adjustment rates. The new rates reflect project costs through December 31st, 2024, related to the investments in the Thunder Spirit, Cedar Hills, Diamond, Willow Bridge projects, and reflect a project under-collected balance of the current RRCA, the resource cost adjustment, as of December 31st. The effect of this rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 800 kilowatts per hour is an increase of $1.30 per month. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by January 8, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the tariffs and rates in Otter Tail Power Company 2023 electrical rate increase application case number PU-23-342.
Second.
I'm just going to give you a little additional information regarding this. The primary drivers for the rate increases as laid out by Otter Tail are interest rates, inflation costs, and aggregated costs increase. In those, we look at what we're seeing is a general increase in contractors, equipment, increase in labor costs. Those are some of the driving factors. Otter Tail's last electrical case was in 2017. Their requested rate of return on this is 10.60%, and the current authorized ROE right now is at 9.77%. So those are just some overall facts looking at the Otter Tail's electrical rate increase.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company 2023 renewable resource cost recovery adjustment factor rates, case number PU-23-343.
Second.
Thank you. On November 2nd, Otter Tail filed a request for approval of its 2024 renewable resource cost recovery rider adjustment factor. This recovery costs from January 1st, 2024 through March 31st of the repowers of the wind farms Langdon, Ashtabula 1, Laverne, Ashtabula 3 wind projects and include the Maricourt Wind Energy Center production tax credits. They also propose to decrease the rate from 12.127% to zero on January 1st, 2024, and to increase the rate to 1.728% from April 1st, 2024 through March 31st. So a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatts would see a monthly bill decrease of $8.32 on January 1st, and then an increase to $1.18 beginning on April 1st. Also on November 2nd, as alluded to, Otter Tail filed a electrical rate increase proposing to move the cost of Maricourt and Ashtabula 3 from the renewable resource cost recovery rider to base rate recovery, and proposed capital structure into the rate and update the E2 jurisdictional allocation factor. So the issues to be considered at this is whether the investments and associated costs of the resource qualify for recovery, and whether their incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of their tariff. So persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 12th. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. So Otter Tail, in short, has a lot going on with filing their electrical rate case. They're looking at moving some riders into the base rate, which will affect this renewable rider. So, like I said, there's just a lot going on right now with Otter Tail, with their electrical rate case and their two riders.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in MDU, Montana Dakota Utility Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU23-339.
Second.
Thank you. On October 31st, MDU filed a change to its generation resource recovery rate to reflect a 2024 amortization of Lewis Clark Unit 1 and Heskett Units 1 and 2 regulatory assets. The effect of the rate change on the bill for the residential customers using 800 kilowatts is a decrease of 1 cent per month compared to the existing rate. So persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by January 8, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Awesome. All right. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order into Sorrel Great Plains Gathering and Marketing LLC 2.4 mile renewable diesel pipeline Stark County siting application case number PU-23-255.
Second.
So Tesoro Great Plains owns and operates an existing 2.4 mile long 6.625-inch diameter pipeline previously decommissioned. It was transporting crude oil, and it was subsequently converted to transport renewable diesel, and this is located in Stark County. The project was constructed as three separate segments between 1995 and 2014, and was subsequently acquired by Tesoro Great Plains in July of 2022. They filed an application with us to convert this pipeline and site it as a transmission line. And So the purpose of the project is to transport renewable diesel fuel in a more efficient manner to the Patterson Rail Terminal for delivery to the United States markets. And it's kind of a complicated thing to understand how they were previously getting the crude oil from one place to the next, but this allows them to essentially use an existing pipeline to do that. The commission noticed this this case. We didn't receive any comments or requests for a hearing. We did have an informal hearing with the company on September 25th. To facilitate the project operations, Tesoro Great Plains purged the decommissioned pipeline of nitrogen, ran multiple cleaning/brush pigs through the pipeline, and subsequently dried the line utilizing foam pigs. Minor facility modifications were required, but it's otherwise it was all within their site. It was all on the existing footprint. The project transports approximately 12,000 barrels per day of the renewable diesel and has a maximum design flow rate of 24,000 barrels per day. And it is, like I said, located on land entirely owned by Tesoro. They estimated that constructing a new pipeline similar to the project would have costed approximately $4 million. So it was an efficient use of an existing resource, also less impact to the environment by using that existing resource that was already constructed. They did go through all the appropriate consultations with agencies and studies and analysis. And with that, I think this project is ready for approval.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission assess an application fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing at Dakota Gas Company Transfer Corridor number 2223 and route number 233, citing application case number PU-23-347.
Second.
So on July 28th of 2021, the commission issued a route and corridor permit to Dakota Gasification for construction, operation, and maintenance of approximately 2.9 miles of 12-inch and 3.9 miles of 6-inch carbon dioxide gas pipeline and associated facilities in Mercer County. On November 15th of this year, Dakota Gas and Dakota Carbon LLC filed a joint application to transfer this route and corridor permit from DGC to DCS. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 8th of 2024 on this matter, and if deemed appropriate, we can make a determination without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And my final motion, I move the commission suspend the tariffs and rates in Montana Dakota Utilities Company 2023 natural gas rate increase application case number PU-23-341.
Second.
So this is another rate increase request. This one from MDU Gas. They are proposing a 7.45% rate increase to their customers. The total amount they're requesting is $11.6 million. The drivers for this, they're continuing to rebuild their system, their aging system, and also increasing their proposed to increase their ROE from 9.3% to 10.5%. It's a significant driver in this rate increase, as well as, you know, increased costs of operations and maintenance, et cetera. So this suspends the rates. We'll be coming back in a few weeks to talk about the interim rate increase. But if we approve the rates as they're requested, which I don't know that we've ever done, but it would be a monthly bill impact of $5.89 is what they're asking. And so begins months of discussion, investigation on this rate increase and the previous one from Otter Tail Power. And with that, that concludes my portfolio. I will say, because I have to leave here shortly, that I will designate Stacy to sign for me. And in terms of discussion matters, I support the Randy taking charge of that LED streetlights issue. And I also support Basin's request for a waiver as written by Jack. I would likely support changes from you guys if you need to tweak it for any means. And then Stacy has my calendar and can help with scheduling, any scheduling questions. So feel free to add whatever needs to be added.
Can we have a motion and a second?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there any further discussion?
Just to clarify at the end, I think you said on your discussion a lot going on with Otter Tail, and it's your case is MDU. So
I said both, this one and Otter Tail. Okay. There's a lot with the rate cases for both of them.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And before you depart or we go to announcements and questions from the press, I just want to say regarding the admin calendar on scheduling part of it, since you're going to be gone, we will punt on the strategic planning thing. I don't. That's not urgent. We can wait a couple weeks on that. We do need to cite that Oliver Wind and get that moving.
Yep.
And so we have some dates, but we will probably not send out an official publication so that you can hear our discussion, whatever we settle on your way. And if there's a problem, let Stacy know or something.
Sure.
And we can reconvene on whenever you return and redo
yep.
it. And then the other thing on the annual commission calendar, we can delay that, but then the next meeting will kind of be our deadline to have that done, and that tends to have a lot of moving parts. So I just want to point out some things while you're both here, so we're all thinking about this and working with staff. You know, staff sent out a draft of a proposed calendar for us based on things that were on each of our personal calendars. And since then, for one thing, because for the last several years, we so run out of opportunities for informal hearings, and by then we've filled up our calendars. So I added, I think, like 8 or 9 additional informals in there, and took the whole day. Now, we could schedule something else for a half of the day if nothing's been scheduled in the meantime or something. So there's some wiggle room, I guess, is my point. But please look those over and don't wait till the next meeting, because if you bring something up, then we're all scrambling for the change. Work with staff on it. The other thing that I wanted to say, we have a June 5th meeting, and many times on these rate cases, the companies have worked with us, and we've gone beyond the normal 6-month requirement. But really, these would be kind of due out by the end of May, and if we don't have a meeting in late, I mean, I doubt we're going to get them done anyway, but without a meeting in very late May, I think it's even less likely. The last thing I want to point out, and this is all three of us, so a lot of things on our calendars that I see in the March, April, and May time frame, and well, there is all throughout the year, but in the March, April, and May time frame, we're going to be needing to be doing hearings on 2 rate cases. We've got 2 huge siting cases. In fact, the Summit one is maybe time-wise the biggest siting case we've ever had. And so if I would just implore all of us to review our calendars, if we have things on there that maybe have subsequently changed and we don't need to be holding certain days that we're currently holding off, maybe let staff know about that and open up some new opportunities, because that March through May time frame, we're going to be stressed. So anyway, I just wanted to point those concerns I had out so everybody can be working with staff the next couple weeks on that.
Can I make one comment before I dash? So I'm very comfortable with Stacy participating in the conversation, because she does probably know even more than I do about the requests that have come in. And then secondly, there are blocks for, and this is for you guys and Stacy, but the long conferences like CAMP, the Western, all those regionals, I don't need to be there for the entire thing. So those are flexible dates. especially on the back end. So anyway, with that.
Okay. We won't take final action on it though today until you get back.
Okay. Well, if you wanted to, I would be fine with you doing that. But anyway.
We'll see once what other changes come up then. Okay. You're okay with those additional informals though?
I am.
If we get that far.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good idea.
With that, let me get to my announcements and then we'll... Okay, we'll stand in recess for announcements, and then we'll take some press questions from the press, and then reconvene for the administrative personal meeting. Thank you.
Safe travels, Julie.
We do have some I think quite interesting announcements today. So first of all, we have an informal this afternoon with Terracom. That's a eligible telecommunications carrier case. 23-PU-23-291. That's at 1:30. On Tuesday the 12th, we have a formal hearing with Otter Tail Power, one of the ones that Commissioner Haugenhofer mentioned has all this stuff coming. That's an advanced prudence on the Astoria Fuel Inventory System. That's case PU-23-66. The 13th, so 2 weeks. We actually fall on a normal schedule. The 13th at 10 o'clock is our regular commission meeting. On the 18th, that's a Monday of December, at 1 o'clock is the Legislative Interim Energy Development and Transmission Committee. And I'd kind of forgotten about that. That was scheduled for the week when they had the special session. And so this got rescheduled. And as I recall, we are all requested to be there, and it's going to be kind of a joint testimony thing, so we will need to notice this if it hasn't been done already. And I don't recall even exactly what the topics are on that, but that's Monday, the 18th of December. And then one that I know a handful of people around the state have been wondering about, on Thursday, December 21st at 2 o'clock, we will have a formal hearing on SCS carbon transport, the CO2 pipeline. That's case number PU-22-391. I would like to emphasize, because it's important that people not be confused, that have, you know, monitored all of our regular hearings where we take, you know, general information. This is for oral arguments regarding the applicability of local ordinances on the siting of gas or transmission facilities, gas or liquid transmission facilities. This does not involve public testimony. That concludes the announcements. Other questions?